Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Good evening. Today we're at 6 p.m. Eastern. We didn't have our show at 8 a.m. so that you could hear the live show with the updated information. But I got the crew with me. Yep, the fellas. So we're about to start some trouble. Ray's already on it. So you got Ray Porter Jr. who's already ready to throw his flags out. You know how he talks about having a flag to throw out at me and Vince. What's up, Ray?
I even got the uniform.
All right, that's enough. Anyway, over to Vince.
See, this is the reason why, America, why I'm about to throw everything up at whatever his name, Trevin, right now, okay?
Then we got Mr. Vince Butts. What's happening, Vince?
Hey, what's going on, fam?
See, Vince is a smooth one. You hear how he did it? Hey, what's going on,
man,
fam?
You gave him like, you didn't give him 2 seconds and then cut him. So.
So as you can tell, there's no hands off of Ray this time. No holds bar as far as Ray's concerned. The kid's gloves are off, so Ray's he's prime game. He's a target. No, I'm just messing with him. We all good.
Just bring it, man. Bring it.
So this morning we got – well, not this morning. Today we're going to talk about the NBA, NHL, of course, NFL, a little bit of that, and we'll talk about what's going on. Now, gentlemen, let's start right here. This morning all of us have significant others. So this morning, mine decided to watch the royal wedding, where now the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, was married to Prince, is it Harry?
Yes.
Okay, Prince yes. Harry. Okay, so because Edward is the next in line to be king, right? His brother?
Right.
Okay, cool. So the royal wedding. And my thing was... I don't even know these people.
Right.
You know, so from a sports perspective, what does that have to do with sports? Well, it seems like the whole world was in on it, but it's not that I didn't care, but it's like, I don't know you.
Right. It's hard to get attached to people you don't know. And I know, you know there'll be some people out there who'll say, well, you guys get attached to sports. You know, you guys are all emotional about sports.
It isn't a legitimate argument, though.
But see, this is where it comes in. This is where the sports ties in. And I agree with what Vince just said. I don't know these athletes, so I'm not attached to you. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm rooting for you. But at the same time, bruh, it's like, you don't know who I am. You don't even know I exist.
And that's a good point.
You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow you. So I guess I can understand now that I'm talking through this. I can understand following the wedding. If you watched Princess Diana's children grow up, so you probably come attached to their life because they've had some tragedy in their lives. Absolutely. They lost their mother, of course. Right. So I sympathize with that. So, you know, following them, I can see where you could be proud to see them actually overcoming, not overcoming, maybe being able to deal with the loss of a mother and then still succeeding in life.
Yeah, it's good perspective. It makes sense. As far as Princess Diana, for me, it actually hits a little bit because she passed before a week before my mother passed.
Wow.
So that's my tie-in.
Okay.
But as a, 8 or 9 year old, somehow I ended up watching the royal wedding with my family. All I remember is how long Princess Diana's dress was. And 8, 9 year old, you know, like, oh, she's a pretty girl and all that stuff. But, and then somehow in 2011, I was up because I was working different jobs. I ended up watching when the other one got married.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I see I'm an early riser, so it's just interesting how...
Wait. You said when the other one got married? What other one? Who are you talking about?
His brother, Prince... I can't think of his name. Prince William that got married.
Prince William.
The today. Kate Middleton. The thing about it is, and it's a case of where your passion lies. I mean, you got some sports fans who are so emotionally attached. And it's one of the things I stopped using as a fan, is the term we. And sometimes I'll get on people... when they say, well, we just need. I said, are you out there playing?
Yeah, right.
But that's how emotionally attached some fans get. And I remember back in 05 when the Steelers were playing and Bettis fumbled that ball at the goal line. One fan had a heart attack because he didn't want him to miss out on going to the Super Bowl. So even Bettis was like, okay, don't be letting that get you that far.
I understand the connection. I mean, I'm a sports fan, you know, grew up a sports fan, diehard. You know, Cleveland sports fan, but I've maybe I'm different, but I've learned to separate, you know.
Yeah.
Like sports has always been, you know, my release from life.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hard day's work. You know, there's a game coming on, or you get a chance to go to a game at your local arena, and it's just it's entertainment. So I've always looked at it as it's entertainment. It's not. I don't want to say it's not interwoven into my life, because in some ways it is. We buy apparel. We do all these things associated with our teams when they're not technically playing. We wear our jerseys. I went to see Bruce, and he said, man, these cats in Pittsburgh, they don't care. They crazy about their Steelers. The Steelers aren't even playing. And they got their Steeler jerseys on. Something else was going on, and they had their Steeler jerseys on. And he made a joke that they went to the bar and actually watched a taped game. That's how fanatic they were. And so I understand being a fan of your team and all that, but I try to separate my life from sports. And you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about I'm not trying to have say anything bad about someone who's following the royal wedding, but to me it's like a it's the society that we live in now. We're a we're reality TV, and this is real live reality TV playing out before our eyes. And so people are just drawn to it. People are drawn to celebrities and what their life is like. So I think people are just jumping at the chance to be involved in whatever way they can.
Absolutely. And in that way, that makes them feel connected.
Right.
I mean, look at these. I mean, it still gets me. They have parties.
Mm.
You know, I've heard stories of the Academy Awards where they have Academy Award parties.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I would only come for the food. But, and other things too. So yeah, it's a thing of where folks put, so they could, and I remember years past, I would date girls, even in my teens, and they'd be like, so how come you just so caught up? And I said, why are you so caught up on what you watch?
Right.
End of story. Mm-hmm. And movies too. When people right. shed tears and cry over movies, because they're connected.
Sports fans, you say, well, you guys started talking about the wedding. We were just talking about the way some people are following the wedding and how they're attached to it. And I can kind of understand how that relates to us and sports fans, because
absolutely.
That's how you feel about certain players. That's mm-hmm. how you feel about certain teams.
Yeah. And sports is easy to be attached to, especially when your team is winning. Especially, I think about years. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles when they weren't winning. Well, what their last, before they won this past year, their last one was in 1960,
mm-hmm.
and they would talk about how they would hold on to what Norm Van Brocklin did or what Randall Cunningham did to help them get through life, mm-hmm. to help them get through on their job. So it's interesting. It's just definitely different perspectives tied in there,
Yeah,
for inspiration, yeah.
And talking about perspectives and inspiration, we're about to close out this segment in a couple of minutes, and we're going to go in and talk about the NBA, because the combine was this week. And then earlier, was it this week or last week, they had the lottery order, and the Phoenix Suns end up with the number one pick. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about a whole bunch of NBA stuff, because I have some combine stats and players I want to talk about, see what our NBA analyst Vince Butts has to say about certain players. And then, Ray's going to chime in. It's not Ray's Forte, but he's going to chime in. He's our NFL expert. That's why I say that.
I got Forte for you.
And speaking of the NBA Combine, our man John McCann, he got something to say about NBA and the awards in his I Know You're Going to Dig This segment.
I Know You're Going to Dig This.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
Now, you're wondering how come this podcast is late.
I was giving you time to get the last one straight.
Exactly what do these NBA awards really mean anyway? I mean, maybe that's what made me sick. Messed around and caught a cold, lost my voice. But I mean, these NBA awards are crazy. I mean, here you have the National Basketball Coaches Association Coach of the Year Award going to Toronto Raptors coach Dwayne Casey. And as we speak, that man doesn't even have a job right now. The Raptors fired him. Now, Never mind that the Raptors set a franchise record with 59 wins. Never mind that they earned the number one playoff seed in the Eastern Conference. Never mind that they knocked off the Washington Wizards in the first round of the playoffs. Never mind all of that because the Raptors couldn't get past the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second round of the NBA playoffs. And look, Dwayne Casey can't help that the Cleveland Cavaliers have the Black Panther in the starting lineup. That would be LeBron James. Now, that said, whether or not firing Casey was fair is debatable. I mean, ask Mark Jackson, who helped resurrect the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. He got fired in 2014, and then Steve Kerr took over the team the next season with Mark's men and won the NBA title. Now, Black Panther has the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are coached by Brad Stevens, who has his guys in green playing some real good ball despite season-ending injuries to Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Listen, Brad Stevens has skills. That man knows what he's doing, yet he didn't get one vote to be Coach of the Year. Mind you, that award is voted on by NBA coaches. Looks to me like they're hating on Stevens. But like I said, what do these NBA awards really mean anyway? Let me clear my throat. Keeping you connected from the fields to the stands, I'm your man, John McCann.
That's the man, John McCann. Yo, fellas, I think you got a point there, man.
He has a very legitimate point.
I mean, when you look at what happened with David Fizdale, who Vince will probably make reference to later in the show, and then you look at what's happening right now with Casey, Dwayne Casey, and I thought the same thing. He was just voted the Coach of the Year. Then you go ahead and fire him.
Right? Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, Toronto made a mistake, period.
Made a mistake? Well, they can correct it. I don't see them calling him back.
No, and they won't because of pride.
Okay.
And whatever half of an image they have.
Right. And I would, another thing that just, I don't know if it rubbed me wrong. I guess the jury's still out on this yet, and I'm trying to decide. Kyle Lowry said, I support the franchise and what they're trying to do. So I was like, wait a minute, Kyle, did you not like the coach? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, because you and DeMar DeRozan were the stars of the team.
Yeah.
No matter how you cut it.
I think that probably stems a little bit from some of the decisions that Casey made. You know, throughout the year, and I cutting back minutes. I know in one scheme, you know, it helps players as they, you know, get through a grueling 82-game season. In one aspect, you might be thankful, but I know players want to play, so you know, cutting back on minutes from Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan probably didn't sit too well with him. And then, you know, you get to the playoffs and, you know, some questionable decisions, you know, players, you know, not playing players or playing different players, and the result, you know, getting swept by the Cavs, it probably resonated more with him, with Kyle Lowry than the 59 wins and, you know, I mean, losing to LeBron James shouldn't be looked at as a failure.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you know, the greatest, quote unquote, greatest player on the planet. I mean, there's something to be said for having to go against that type of individual and the performance that he put on. I mean, and he's obviously he's been their kryptonite. So, you know, I think that for Dwayne Casey to have succeeded, he would needed to.
I'm going
to
stop you, gentlemen, right there. And Vince, before we find out what you think Toronto should do, I'm going to let everybody know right here, right now, you have to check into the VIP conversation. That's right, the part of the show you have today. But then there's a VIP conversation that's sitting out on the side. And if you're a VIP member, you're going to hear what we have to talk about in reference to this NBA awards and Dwayne Casey situation. But you got to be a VIP and access the VIP conversation for that. So, you need to, if you want to hear what Vince really got to say, if you're really waiting to hear what he got to say, but you need to hear it because I'm about to fire back at him. So is Ray. And, you know, Ray's on it today. So check out the VIP conversation for Urban Media Today Talk Sports and check out the rest of the conversation. All right. Back to what you were saying, Vince.
Dwayne Casey won't be unemployed for long.
No, he won't.
He's an excellent coach who knows the game of basketball. He'll be better in the long run.
What's on to you right after this?
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Do you want to hear lively sports discussions on the hottest topics in sports today with exciting local and national guests? We have the right program for you. Tune in to Soul Chicks. Yep, he is live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Urban Media Today Radio. And then check out the show on the website, urbanmediatoday.com. Get right down to business with your co-hosts, Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal, as they introduce guests, hot sports topics, and more. It's Soul Chicks. Yep, he is live. Brought to you by Cameron Professional Family of Businesses. Don't miss it. Soul Chick. Tempe is live.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. What's up, big guy? We know you got you in our thoughts and prayers always, as he's getting better every day, showing improvement and doing his thing. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. So definitely got to say a shout out to him. Fourth mic's always open, man, waiting for you. Anyway, we were talking about the royal wedding and sports fans in the first segment. And you might say, well, Trevin, what are you talking about, royal wedding and sports fans? What ties in, believe me, because if you're a sports fan and you follow the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Los Angeles Rams or in the NBA, the Boston Celtics or Golden State Warriors, you're attached to your sports team like people are attached to the royal family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so
this is true.
That's an interesting tie-in. And, I mean, just showing you how we as a people – the certain things that we do to follow, to escape or just find entertainment or enjoyment. Man, the combine, you had the lottery, yeah, and of course, you know, I got to say this to you, Vincent Ray. Remember I told you during last season, I saw this guy go up for a dunk, and it looked like he took off from the foul line, and it looked like his hand was over the backboard, literally, as at the peak of his jump before he slammed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was talking about Mohamed Bamba, who played with Texas. He's a seven-footer.
Remember that,
In the combine, and as I said to you guys earlier, they measured his wingspan at 7 feet 10 inches.
My goodness gracious!
Now imagine that Now when you look at a seven-foot man standing up, it's like whoa, you know, from head to toe.
Right.
Just imagine this brother spreading his arms and from fingertip to fingertip, fingertip from his left arm to fingertip on his right arm, is 7 feet 10 inches. Are you kidding me?
He's Mr. Fantastic.
It makes him 7 feet 10 inches tall.
Wow.
Man, that's incredible. And the thing about it, Vince, is that his percentage, like we like all basketball season I talked about, you know who, with Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Trae Young. Trae Young.
And
he's a beast, and I should have talked about him. And I also mentioned Mohamed Bamba. And then we also talked about DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
But with Mohamed Bamba, I didn't realize he blocked 3.7 shots per contest this year, which was fourth best in the nation. And he shot 54% from the floor.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. So I was so caught up in his wingspan and his blocking shots that I didn't know that this young man was shooting over 50% from the floor.
Right. He's very diverse. All right. I like it.
So they're saying that's going to make him a guaranteed top 10 pick.
He might be number one.
I don't know, because Phoenix might have something to say about that with DeAndre Ayton, because they need a big guy.
There's some players out there, you know, saying they're worthy of the number one pick. You know, Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm. Who only played not even half the season.
Right, not even half.
Okay, for Missouri.
Right.
Okay.
Kudos to the Porter. Trae
Young. Trae Young out of Oklahoma. We talked about him.
He says he's worthy of the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that back. Go ahead, though.
You know, DeAndre Ayton has been probably the consensus number one pretty much all season. You know, legitimate 7 feet tall from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So you have three players
that
I think have diverse enough games that they're more than likely they're gonna go before Mo Bamba.
Now the thing about DeAndre, and you brought him up and real quick, was I'll go back. He was shooting 61% from the floor.
Right.
I didn't realize that.
Jeez.
I mean, the shooting percentages for these big guys is incredible.
Pretty impressive.
And Ayton actually shot 34% from beyond the 3-point line.
Goodness gracious!
And he's 7 feet tall.
And you know, and what I meant was, I forgot my pick for number one is Marvin Bagley III.
So, out of Duke.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's just a complete package, to be honest with you. So I take back what I said. But yeah, it's good. A lot of talent though. It's going to be a very exciting draft though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be. yeah, you're gonna have to stay tuned because, you know, Phoenix is actually talking about trading out of that number one spot.
No, they're not. Are you serious?
That they're talking. Okay, and I think any time this happens, I think you take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I think you're in the number one spot. I think you have to listen to offers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm gonna throw some out there in a sec.
Okay.
But if a team is willing to, like, I don't think you ever want to say, like, we're, unless a player is a generational talent like LeBron James,
right,
you
right.
know, I don't think you ever come out and say, no, we're not trading this right. pick. I think you have to listen, you know, because you never know what someone is willing to offer you
mm-hmm.
For that pick, you know.
Which is true.
I mean, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an over the top offer because it has to be,
mm-hmm.
because you just, you know, you one the player or the players that are slotted to go number one,
mm-hmm.
Possess elite talent, so you know the chance to go out and get a player, and in turn get a player in return, you know you're going to get a player who has some upside, a tremendous upside. And, you know, a player that has already established himself in the league. So you don't, you know, in terms of Phoenix, for example, trading out of that number one spot, they're not only are they going to be trading with someone who's – they're probably not going to move too far out of the lottery. So they're gonna, mm-hmm. they got to get a number one pick in return.
Right.
In addition to getting a player who's already established himself in the NBA already, you know, who's been in the league one, two, 3 years, right. something like that. I mean, you're going to – because that number one pick is – potentially a superstar, you're going to trade for a superstar
yeah.
or superstar in the making, which brings me to Karl-Anthony Towns.
Mm.
There is talk that Minnesota, there's some rumblings and grumblings.
They're going to get rid of the big cat?
I don't know if they're going to talk.
Are you serious?
I mean, there's Coach Thibodeau,
yeah,
Tom. Who came from Chicago. You know, he had some issues with players, and I think that in some sense led to his dismissal from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
And so now in Minnesota you have these young players like Karl-Anthony Towns, who I think he's a young player, and you have an established coach, and I think one of the biggest things is Thibodeau is a defensive minded coach. And defense is, to me, one of the hardest things to teach, you know, because it's not just technique. It's not just schemes. It's effort. And I'm not saying anything about Karl-Anthony Towns, and that's the reason things aren't working there or don't seem to be working. But to me, like, I've heard people say, you can't get rid of Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. You just can't. But, you know, like we saw with the Grizzlies,
mm-hmm.
when Fizdale,
mm-hmm.
when he didn't get along with
Coach David Fizdale
with the star players,
right,
he was let go,
right. But Fiz ended up in a better place, as far right. as I'm concerned, now right. the head coach of the New York Knicks,
right. But I don't think you should. I don't think you necessarily get rid of a coach because they don't mesh with your star player or your star players.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, in this situation, Karl-Anthony Towns is only a couple years into the league. He's still on a rookie deal. What does he know about the NBA? What does he know about the grind? You know, and I'm not dismissing. I'm just saying Thibodeau is an established coach who knows he's won before. I think these guys need to sit down and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Karl-Anthony Towns might not be happy with his role on that team, but the truth is everyone has a role. And everyone has to, whatever your role, however it's defined, you need to go out there and play it to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go out there and play hard for your team. Like, Minnesota is in a position, to me, to be one of the next young team. They could be, I don't want to say this, but they could be the next Philly. You know?
Yeah, but we haven't seen Philly's story
right.
yet.
But,
like,
but
Philly's story hasn't
right.
finished.
Right. Gotcha. And so – What I feel like is Philly is on a higher trend, you know, they're trending up higher than Minnesota is right now.
Yeah,
Definitely agree. You know, they have, and I mean, they have not in addition to the talent that they have, they're gonna get another high pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna add to what they already have and just get better. Not that Minnesota's not, but I see Minnesota has a nice young nucleus. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, yeah. and they played well this year. I mean, Wiggins,
yeah, they made some good Towns, moves in the offseason.
Their bench guys played well. Mm-hmm. Derrick Rose came off the bench and provided a nice spark for them in this playoffs.
He fit so, better with them.
I think that they have a nice young team that is trending up, and you know why would you want to mess with that?
Yeah.
And I go, that goes both ways in terms of getting rid of Towns or getting rid of your coach. Why would you get rid of, you know, a tremendous coach like Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, and I don't believe it's going to happen.
Never know. Yeah, know when star players speak.
You know what?
Somebody's got to go.
Yeah, take it from the coach killer Dwight Howard, but that's a different story. But
that's not fair to Dwight Howard. Why you call him the coach killer?
Because he is. Stan Van Gundy can attest to it. But my question, though, and my thoughts about Phoenix, they strike me curious, though, because I don't know if they – I wonder where their focus is at. Are they really serious about building their team back up? Because if they're open, I can understand having one of the reasons why they're open to trading up the number one pick. But it's just amazing that they didn't have that pick that long before they were open to trying to swap with somebody.
Like I said, I think it's just a – it's just the opportunity for the GM to just see what someone might be willing to give you.
Mm-hmm. What's their options?
You know, I mean, they have a nice young team, and they have an opportunity to draft. You know, in my mock draft, you know, it's either Luka Doncic, the 6'6", 6'7" point guard.
Some people are saying he's the best available person in this draft because he has experience.
He's a pretty big dude, too. 6'6", a point guard. That's all right.
I did the same thing, Vince. I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't see how you come. But some of these so-called experts are saying that Doncic might be the best available player for a draft.
I mean, when you look at it, like, to me, it comes down to Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton at number one.
I'm rooting for Ayton because, I mean, the dude was a beast with Arizona.
Yeah, he was.
He was. Yeah. He was. I think he was a man among boys. The kid's legit. Not taking anything away from Doncic, mm-hmm. I think maybe the biggest thing is that we haven't had a chance to really see him play.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to anoint him, give him all the accolades when we haven't had a chance to really see him play and see how. I mean, I've heard he's pretty dynamic, and hey, you know what? The way that the NBA is played now, with pace, like you want to push the pace. A guy like Luka Doncic, you know, mm-hmm. running a point. With the Phoenixes, with the nice players that they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, you give it to your point guard and let him push, let him create mismatches and let the defense try to scramble, trying to recover as you push it and try to create something for teammates.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, Doncic played in the EuroLeague and he's available in this upcoming draft. He's only 19 years old. He's 6'6" and he's a guard. I think the interesting thing about him. When you look at his stats in 59 games this past season, he played about 24 minutes in the game, and he also averaged shooting from the three-point line. His three-point percentage is only 31%, which is not impressive to me. And then you look at his free throw percentage; he shoots 80% from the charity stripe. Mm. Okay, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at his points, he only averaged 14 points a game. So I'm wondering. Like, I haven't had the eye test. I haven't been able to see him. So, of course, the experts, they've seen him, and they know what he can do as far as what you've seen. And he played in the EuroLeague. I can see that that's being a disadvantage for us, the fans, because we're not studying the NBA and the prospects like the NBA scouts are paid to do. But if you were a stats person, you just look at his stats, you know, it's kind of like he shoots 57% from the floor. I'll give him that. 80% from the free throw line, and give him that. But I don't see anything impressive if you look at just stats. So he would have to be the eye test, correct?
My thing with European stats is they don't play the same amount of minutes. So historically speaking, when I've looked at stats, I know like they'll do a per 48 minutes, and And so you get to see, you know, over 48 minutes a game, mm-hmm. how many points would a player score, which I think is actually, I always thought it was unrealistic because mm-hmm. no one plays the whole game. Mm-hmm. And so recently I saw a per 40-minute stat, which I thought was more reasonable. So a guy, you know, plays 40 minutes and you get to project based off his current points. So if at 24 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game and 14 points, you know, he probably projected to be closer, probably over 20 points a game, which I think, you know, would be more impressive if you were trying to compare it to the college game.
So let's do this real quick. Let's take a real quick break. Hold on to that thought. Mm-hmm. It's Urban Media Today, Chalk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, and Ray Porter Jr. We're talking about Luka Doncic, who's available for this upcoming draft. He might be considered the number one draft pick, and Vince is going in on it, breaking it down for you. Don't want you to miss anything. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. It's Urban Media Today, Chalk Sports. We'll be back after this.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.
It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones here with Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Talking NBA draft, which is going to be Thursday, June 21st, and it's going to be at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. We were talking about Luka Doncic being available for the draft, EuroLeague player, and we were talking about his stats. Vince was breaking it down. So, Vince, go ahead and talk. It was interesting what you were saying about how they project because they don't play as many minutes in EuroLeague as we, you know, are used to seeing Americans play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, I think I think he's probably a phenomenal player, you know, and over the next few weeks, you know, I'll dive in more and get more information about him. But again, at 6'6", running the point, you know, when I look at his stats, he's improved every year. Mm-hmm. You know, as he's gotten more minutes, you know, he scored more points. Now, he doesn't take a ton of shots a game, which you know, when I look here this year, he made about 5 shots, took about 10. And I think his three-point shooting will improve as he adjusts to the NBA three-point line. But at 6'6", like he's easily going to be, you know, a matchup problem.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to, you know, he's gonna be more in line. He's not obviously not as tall as Ben Simmons, mm-hmm. but, you know, having a 6'6 point guard who – you know, can at least physically can look to match up. So, you know, averaging, you know, like 5 rebounds a game, about 5 assists a game, you know, those totals are going to go up, you know, because the NBA game is wide open. It's much more space. And if he goes to Phoenix, I think, you know, with their young players, he's going to have a chance to really up those stats and be a phenomenal player for them. So I think he's a good player. You know, we'll do our due diligence in the coming weeks and get more information about him and all the other players.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Phoenix historically has been known for having, whether they draft them mm-hmm. or whether they sign them, point guards. I mean, right. Kevin Johnson, mm-hmm. how bad he was back in his day, mm-hmm. as well as Steve Nash.
Right.
So, you know, so it wouldn't surprise me if they end up drafting him.
And the only thing about that is with Phoenix, when you look at their roster, yeah, you got Josh Jackson. Mm-hmm. You got Devin Booker, Alfred Payton, who's a good point guard. So, I mean, you're looking at the point guards. You got Payton. He's probably the man there. And you got Brandon Knight as well. Don't forget about Brandon Knight. And then you got Tyler Ulis. I used to watch Tyler play in college. Yeah. I mean, so Tyler is there. Tyler is pretty good as well. With your big man, you got Tyson Chandler. Okay. I like Tyson Chandler. Always liked Tyson Chandler. He came right out of high school. Right. I think he's one of the last players to come out of high school and come into the league and do his thing. But I think they need a big guy. And I don't think Doncic is the answer for them. So I would see them going with Ayton.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I could vote on Ayton as well.
I mean, you know, yeah, I mean a legitimate 7-foot center who can step out and knock down some threes for you, which is, you know, kind of the way the big man game is going. Because, you know, even with Mo Bamba, he didn't take a lot of threes, but that was something that he is working on. As we go through the combine and move towards the draft,
right.
You know, players like he Mo Bamba is one of those guys who defensively checks out, but he projects to be more of a lob guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're just gonna throw a bunch of lobs at him and have him throw them down. He doesn't have much diversity in his offensive game, but because he's so good defensively, and we talked about that 7'10" wingspan and almost a 4 blocks a game, those things are going to translate well to the NBA.
Right,
and you know he's gonna lock down the paint. Literally, you think he can just lock it down by himself? Just let me just stand in the middle, exactly. Stand in the middle and
10 wingspan.
And your hands outside the paint.
He covers the whole key, right?
Right.
That's funny.
One side to the other.
That's funny. That's a reminder of Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo back in Georgetown. You just couldn't do nothing against either of them.
Well, I totally agree. Now, the draft in the first round, for those of you who don't know, this is how the first round is going to go. You got the Phoenix Suns with the number one pick, and then the Sacramento Kings and Atlanta Hawks, with the Memphis Grizzlies and then Dallas Mavericks rounding out the top five picks. Then after that, you have Orlando, the Magic. You have the Chicago Bulls. The Cleveland Cavaliers actually have a top 10 pick. Even though they're still in the playoffs, we don't know how long that's going to be after today. And then also, you have the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers rounding out the top 10 picks, which is interesting. Now, it gets even more interesting in the next five picks, because in picks 11 through 15, you got Charlotte. The LA Clippers have picks 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Denver Nuggets and the Washington Wizards with the 15th pick. And to round out the top 20 picks, just so that you know, you have the Phoenix Suns again. They get this pick from Miami. They come in at 16. Milwaukee Bucks at 17. San Antonio Spurs at 18. Atlanta Hawks again at 19. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, that we were just talking about, have the 20th pick. They get that from Oklahoma City. Interesting, gentlemen.
The thing
that stands out to be interesting to me is the fact that you have the LA Clippers, who are definitely, we don't even know where they are anymore. they get two picks in the top 15 picks. But it's intriguing that you see Phoenix getting a pick at number one, and then they also have a pick coming up at number 16. So they could trade out the number one pick, like you're saying, man.
Yeah,
that's
the point.
I thought it was interesting in this draft how many teams have multiple picks. Like, not just two picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some teams have three picks, some teams have four picks.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, throughout the whole draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, Boston had acquired a lot of picks in the previous years. Philly did as well. You know, and I think they acquired a lot of picks because they were, quote unquote, going through the process.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was real interesting how many teams have multiple picks, and it'll be interesting to see how they use those picks. Like you said, you know, will a team decide, you know, to package those picks and try to move up, or will they just try to solidify their roster by picking some nice young talent?
There'll be a lot of hat exchanging.
could be.
So it makes me wonder, though. I still have Bagley as, at least now, at least maybe a top one or top two pick. So that means Sacramento or Atlanta could snatch him up. And then after him, Trayvon Young could go too. So it's going to be interesting to see where all these players are going to end up at.
You're right. And what's even going to be more interesting, and we talked about a little earlier, Luka Doncic. We were talking about him as if he's going to come in and be in. He's available for the draft, but he's still contemplating whether or not he wants to leave Spain to come to play in the NBA.
Which I find that odd. A player that's projected to go in the lottery, I mean, you're projected to be the top overall pick, mm-hmm. and probably most mock drafts is not going to slide past number two. Why would you not come and play in the NBA when this is the cream of the crop?
Right,
that's a good point.
So I mean, unless his camp, him and his camp don't like Phoenix or Sacramento, mm-hmm. that's the only reason I see why you would stay in Europe, because you just don't like. You don't want to. You choose not to play for one of those two teams, which is probably where you would go. But it still wouldn't. It still might not stop a team from taking him.
Yeah, they could have the rights to him.
Right.
So whenever he does decide to come.
Right.
But the Phoenix Suns don't have time to do that.
Right. They don't.
He's like, yo, you can't wait for somebody to
make a decision.
Yeah, to make a decision to come. The thing that's also intriguing to me about the draft, which is Thursday, June 21st, as I mentioned earlier, is the fact that, remember, people, there's only two rounds in the NBA draft.
Yeah, that's wow.
So that means, unlike the NFL, where people say with the 270 picks or so that's in the NFL draft, you know, that's a limited amount of availability to the young men that are coming up trying to make it as a professionals. Well, that becomes even smaller in the NBA because it's only 60 spots that right. you're being drafted in. And you're not guaranteed to make the team once you do get drafted right. in the first or second round, especially not the second round. First rounders, yeah, you expect them to make the team. So that's going to be interesting. And what was more, even more intriguing, like you gentlemen said, out of the 60 picks, you know, you got some teams that got 3 and 4 picks, you know, in two rounds. Mm. So
that's incredible.
You almost might be able to pick your starting five.
Yeah, right.
most of the starting five if you're a team that's struggling like the Phoenix Suns. Not picking on the Suns because, you know, they have the first pick in the second round as well after they take their two picks in the first round. So it should be kind of interesting to see what's happening as Phoenix tries to build up from there. And Phoenix also has, like I said, they have two picks in the second round, and I think they have three picks in the first round. I'm double-checking that as I'm speaking to you. They definitely have two picks in the first round. Yep, two picks in the first round and two picks in the second round. So they got four picks out of 60 picks.
And I think what you'll see with them at least once or twice is picking a player that they'll stash overseas.
Okay.
You know, picking a European player or whatnot, and letting him, you know, sit it out. Now he'll play, you know, play overseas, and in a year or two, if he develops, you can bring him over without any need to rush him into the game, without him taking up a roster spot. You know, so you let him play. You know, play. The other thing that will happen with some of these players, and even in the first round, is guys spending time in the G League. With the NBA and their G League, their sort of developmental league, you have players. And I've heard there's a high school kid, a fifth year high school kid, Anthony Simons. They're talking about, you know, even him being drafted in the first round, in the early first round, but him spending time in the G League because he, you know, coming straight from high school, he's gonna need time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
His body's gonna need time to develop. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to. There won't be any pressure to me for him to go, you know, to get drafted in the first round, go play in the G League, see what the, you know, mix it up with those guys because those are grown men, you know, playing like the one cat who'd been playing for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he's going to get a chance to go play with grown men and get in the weight room and see and get all that and all those things worked out and then have a chance to come and spend some time with the parent club. You know, whatever team drafts him, and get a chance to play then. There's two ways that teams, you know, especially with all these multiple picks, are going to be able to use these players
right.
and not have them, you know, the two-way contracts that some players have that they have now will be beneficial to teams, especially with these multiple picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to let a guy develop and not put that added pressure on him to play right now.
Right. That's the truth.
And the G League star you were talking about was Andre Ingram, 32 years old, played in the G League for 10 years and got caught up by the Lakers the last two games of the season and just was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Last two games. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him next year. You know, playing 10 years in the G League, right. getting caught up and then doing what he did. Okay, gentlemen, so that's the draft. This show ended up being naturally more about basketball
right.
than anything else, and that's cool because
it's understandable.
Yeah, when you talk about basketball, we still haven't touched on the playoffs where tonight the Cleveland Cavaliers are hosting the Boston Celtics in game 3. Cavs and LeBron are down 2-0. And then you have the other series, which is the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors. That would be tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. And that series is tied at one game apiece. And this is what we thought, the Celtics and the Cavs would be tied at one going to Cleveland. All right, Mr. Cleveland Cavaliers fan, what's going on?
Man, these Cavs are in trouble. They're in trouble. And I in game, you know, between game one and two, you know, I sort of expected Boston to come out in the first game. I didn't expect them to blow them out, but I expected them to be who they are, which is a well-coached, tough defensive team, the team that plays without any fear. And you see that in their young guys, in Jaylen Brown, in Jason Tatum, in Terry Rozier. Those guys play with no fear, and they play with the highest level of confidence. You can watch that in their play. They're just not fazed by LeBron and these battle tested Cavs. So that's a problem for the Cavs. You know, they rely so much on LeBron and their 3-point shooting, and if LeBron is off, which is few and far between, but you rely so much on one player, and if your shots aren't falling, then what do you have to fall back on? And Cleveland is their winning is predicated so much on their 3-point shooting and their outside shooting that when that breaks down, you know, they're not a good defensive team. They have lapses where they're good, but they don't seem to be able to sustain that over the long term.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a real problem for them. And the other problem for me with Cleveland is that they brought all these guys in, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Larry Nance Jr., and they're not really relying on those guys. And so you brought all these pieces in. You got rid of a bunch of players, including Kyrie, and you don't have much to show for it.
No, not at all.
I mean, even though they got younger, they're not getting a chance to. These young guys aren't getting a chance, and that's all. To me, that's not just Boston's what they're doing defensively and offensively, but it's the coach as well, and not trusting these young players. I think you have to give them something to be successful.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know what's interesting? Last week, Trevin and I was talking about this series, and I made the bold statement that I didn't think that the Celtics would be a challenge to Cleveland. Uh-huh. And it's easy to base it on history, but you know, eventually the other team does get better. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit that I have to say I was wrong, because I like the look of the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
With Tatum, Horford, Rozier, all of them. Just doing their thing.
There's a lot to like.
So I had to, I had to put my proverbial foot in my mouth. You know, so often you got to do that sometimes. Right. And it's just a proven fact that the Cavs miss Kyrie Irving more than the Celtics do right now.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can't go down 3-0.
Oh, no. I feel like this, I really feel like this series is over.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at, Boston probably should have won game one. They're at home. I think they're undefeated at home.
Yeah, they are.
In the playoffs. they struggle on the road. But game two for the Cavs is, like, you know, they were in control in the first half. And then they let it slip away in the third quarter, relying so much on their jump shots instead of continuing to be aggressive and drive the ball to the basket, you know, trying to get some fouls, trying to, at least get better looks. And he didn't. And Boston, I can't even say they slowly crept back into it. You know, these young guys, I mean, they were right back into it. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple minutes into the third quarter, game was tied, and now they're on their way up. They're up 7, and they never gave it up. And so, you know, that has to, for Cleveland, if you're a Cleveland fan, that has to be a trouble spot for you. That has to be disheartening.
Yeah, it is.
Because you had this game, and there were some things. I mean, obviously the game wasn't over at halftime, but you needed to come out in the third quarter and continue to establish yourself. I thought it was a must-win game.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you need home court, and you need to show, you need to find a way to push these guys back. And they did, and they didn't do that, and they got pushed back themselves. So I think this series is over.
Yeah.
I see Cleveland winning a game or two, but I don't know that they can, you know, that they can, you know, win four games, you know, for what, four out of the next five games. I just don't see it happening.
And you know what's funny? I may just mention, looking at the stat line for Cleveland, is LeBron James is like Bugs Bunny out there. The one cartoon where he just pretty much did everything.
Right.
With the exception of rebounds, thanks to Kevin Love, he's doing everything. Mm-hmm. Assists, steals, blocks, as well as points. That is a lot, you know?
Yeah, especially when you do, when you have your fifth triple-double of the season and with over 40 or more points.
Incredible, that's, man.
Incredible.
Without a win.
Without
a win.
Yeah, exactly right. Because he had, in the loss, 107-94 game two loss, LeBron had 42 points, and that's crazy. But then you have Jaylen Brown, who scored 23 points in both of his games in the series, and you didn't anticipate the Scary Terry being as tough as he is. When you look at the fact that Hayward and Kyrie are out, you know, you would think that the Celtics were at a disadvantage, and they definitely proved that they're not at a disadvantage. So. But I wanted to point this out to you guys. 300 teams took a 2-0 series lead in the best-of-seven series in the NBA. 281 of those teams won the series. But then there were 19 teams who made comebacks, and LeBron James led two of those 19 teams.
And
if the Cleveland Cavaliers can get game three tonight in Cleveland, which is 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, Eastern Standard Time, Boston might be looking over their shoulder a little bit. But I mean, when you look at the way that Tatum is playing, Brown is playing, and Scary Terry, I think they're too young to have fear, allude to Vince's point earlier.
That's
you know how you're brand new, so you're too young to understand that you're supposed to be afraid.
Right.
You know, you're just on your confidence alone, like, I can play.
Right.
So I'm taking you to the hole. Mm-hmm. You all know we all played basketball on the schoolyard, and it's like when you step onto the court, it's like, hey, unless I watch these cats on the court play before I got here, I don't know what I'm playing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And even if I have seen you play before, yo, man, I got to stay on the court because it's win or go home.
Right.
And you all know when we go to the playground in the neighborhood, if you go and play one game and lose, you could be sitting for an hour, 2 hours before you get back on the court.
It is the truth.
It's play to survive.
It's ball out, right.
Ball out
or don't even play.
Right.
It's like, don't step on the court if you ain't trying to play because I ain't trying to lose.
Right.
I've had cats tell me that before. It's like, look, bro, we've been winning all day. I ain't trying to lose. So you come up here, I don't want you on my team if we're not going to continue to win it.
Right.
So I think that's the Boston Celtics attitude. What about the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets?
Ooh, the real matchup. I call this the main event. I like it. And it intertied 1-1. I like it.
I'm glad it's playing out that way.
It didn't
like it was going to, you know, with Golden State getting the first win, getting the win in the first game, but the style that Houston was playing, you know, contributed that. But you saw in the game two, you saw a much faster pace with Houston. You saw them, they get the ball up, and they went early. They were aggressive early in the shot clock. So they drove to the basket and either, you know, got a shot or they start moving the ball, you know, passing the ball around and getting Golden State off of, you know, like they did. So Golden State's defense now has to move instead of they'll still do ISO ball, but their ISO ball has in the second game came sooner in the shot clock. So at least if you know, James Harden takes a couple dribbles and then he's gone. Now he has options versus if he, you know, waits late in the shot clock, then you're probably going to throw up some prayer and hope that it goes in. And not that, I mean, he's made plenty of those, but when you rely on that late in the shot clock, you don't give your team an opportunity to get involved.
Yeah, it's a risk.
And get some, you know, get some offensive rebounds Golden State can just, or any team can kind of sit back and let you dribble, and we don't even have to move when we got ISO ball at the top of the key, on the wings, so our defense doesn't have to move. So them by them going early in the shot clock, now they're putting the pressure on to Golden State. I mean, it helped that P.J. Tucker had 22, Trevor Ariza had 19, Eric Gordon had 27. You have to have production from your secondary players.
Right.
You know Chris Paul's gonna get his points, get his shots and whatnot. You know that Harden's gonna get his points and his shots. But it's important for the supporting cast to get, you know, to contribute. And you, so you saw Golden State, I think they shot 30% from 3-point range in the second game. Klay Thompson only had 8 points. I think one of the huge things was Draymond Green not picking it up on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a high volume scorer, but I think you know Kevin Durant's going to do his thing. So yeah, you drop 38. You know, he can't be stopped. But other guys have to pick up the slack. Klay Thompson has an off night. Steph Curry has an off night. Draymond Green has to pick it up. David West has to pick it up.
Yeah.
So players, the supporting cast has to be able to pick it up, and they didn't do it in the second game. Now, I still think Golden State is the favorite because they still have home court.
Right.
So by stealing that first game, you know, they're still in control, and I really, you know, I hope this goes to 7 games. It's playing out that it's going to go 7 games.
I believe it will. I really do, and I think that, and I like Golden. I like Houston for this series. I want them to slay the Giant. Slay Goliath, do it. And if they can steal one at the Oracle, at least one, that'll give them a little bit of an advantage. And, you know, Golden State is just about unbeatable, although they lost 12 times this year at home. But that's interesting. They lost 12 times away, too. That's interesting stat. But I think that Houston can do it. I really do. They're not afraid.
No, you're right. I don't think they're afraid. But they're going to have to. They got to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got to get a game in Golden State,
right?
Which is a tough place to play. If they can steal back home court, then we definitely got a series. And I think it's pivotal for them to get game three.
Oh yeah,
you know, I think like you don't want to give Golden State the opportunity to get ahead. Because Golden State's so tough, like in game, like no lead seems insurmountable to me for mm-hmm. them. They can, you know, their scores, their guys are so prolific at scoring. They can, you know, they can erase a 12-point lead in a blink of an eye. So if, you know, if I'm Houston, like they did in game two, you know, not only are you pushing the pace, being aggressive early in the shot clock, but you got to make shots too.
Yeah,
you know, guys have to hustle. If you miss a shot, you got to, you know, hustle to try to get that offensive rebound to prevent Golden State from getting out and running, because all it takes for Golden State, all it takes is one bucket to go in, and it's over.
Yeah, it's been proven. It really has been.
So, Vince, you saying that you think that Golden State's going to win this series, advance, and they're going to play who in the finals?
Boston.
So it'll be Golden State and Boston with who winning?
I think Golden State is just too, they're too established. They're too good. Boston, you know, yeah, you have to always feel like, you know, you as a young team, you have to go through roadblocks. I think Boston is very, very good. They're capable of winning an NBA championship this year, but between Houston would be a better matchup for them. Golden State is just too good all the way around. They have too many veterans. They have guys that have been there already. Houston's never, you know, I don't know if anyone on that roster has won an NBA championship. So they're not sure quite what it takes yet. If Houston wins, which I don't believe is going to happen, but if they win and get to the championship, I think they're happy to be there. You know, instead of this is what we expected, or we know what it takes, you know, to win it all. And Chris Paul, I know is really, he's that fire for that Houston team, because he's never been this far. I think he wants it as bad as anyone on that Houston roster. But I think I think players on that Houston roster, Rockets roster, are like, if they get to the finals, they're like, you know, okay, yeah, we've done it. You know, I can see them popping champagne. Whereas Golden State wins the series against Houston, and they're like, you know, this is what we expected.
Hmm.
Don't need to pop champagne because we're gonna pop champagne at the end. We got four more games to win after that, so we want to hold off. We know what it, you know. We know what the deal is, and so you have a young team like Boston. I think they win. They beat Cleveland, and they still need to learn what it takes to get to the ultimate pinnacle. So I think they're primed and peaked. Next year, I think is a better chance with Kyrie and Gordon back. They would actually be the favorite to me next year. With those guys back and healthy, with the current roster that they have, I mean that team is going to be scary next year. But yeah. I don't think they have enough this year.
Mm-hmm. So Ray, you see Houston and Boston in the finals?
Yeah, I see that rematch of the 1981 and 86.
And you see who winning?
I'm rooting for Houston.
Okay,
I think they can do it. I mean, you know, I mean, and going back to what Vince said about Chris Paul, this is it. This for him. This is the first time he's ever been this far. So he's definitely going to be locked in. Mm-hmm. But the key is what the eventual MVP is going to do. And, of course, that's my pick for MVP, James Harden, because mm-hmm. as he goes, so does the Rockets. So they have to be on their game against a young Celtics team.
All right, I got it. So mm-hmm. I see the Cavs coming back and making it to the finals, and I see Golden State playing Cleveland again, but I see Golden State winning it because LeBron's just played so much, so hard, and it's just too long. You know, I didn't lose faith in you, King James. I just, you know, it's too much on you, man. So today's show ended up being all about basketball, and it's all good. So we appreciate you listening because it's the NBA playoffs taking place. And you got the combine that's happening now as we speak, and then you also had the draft lottery situation set up. The draft, which is June 21st on a Thursday. So we're keeping you up to date on what's happening tonight. Enjoy the game between the Cavs and the Boston Celtics. You heard how we stand on the game. How do you stand? Well, there's plenty more of this where next weekend. There's plenty more where this came from next weekend. So make sure you tune in next weekend for Urban Media Today Talking Sports. Trevin A. Jones along with Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. And the big guy, Alan Lincoln, always got you right here. Mike number four waiting for you. Glad to see you doing so well. We'll talk to you next week.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game you being played? How's it going down? I get up, all right?
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that. And all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today Radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to UrbanMediaToday.com and subscribe today.